Lita Ford is my guest today on the Radio Chatter podcast, and we talk about numerous topics, including her brand new record, the First Lady of Rock Guitar Award, the Loudwire Awards show, writing her book, The Monsters of Rock Cruise, even 90s grunge.
Let the music industry do their thing. Let the grunge scene do its thing. It'll come full circle, and rock will be back.
That's just the tip of the iceberg today with Lita Ford.
T-minus 10, 9. 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and lift off.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
In case you missed the title of the podcast, Radio Chatter with Lita Ford, she's my guest today on the podcast. I do appreciate you guys listening. We talk about a lot of things here, including, like I said in the intro, the Loudwire Awards, the brand new album. We talk about her book, the 90s, even her apparel, all sorts of different things, and what really pissed her off about a late 1980s documentary. That's coming up here in just a bit as well. I had a chance to meet Lita only once in my life that I could think of, and it was during the Def Leppard tour, and I want to say it was about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, and she was so nice. I actually mentioned this at the end of the interview. She was just so hospitable to me and the one girl at work. I think a couple of my friends were with us. If I remember correctly, there was a little dog running around in her dressing room, and NASCAR was on the screen. I don't know if that was her watching it or whatever bandmates or whatever, but she just couldn't have been nicer. So hospitable, offering drinks and just, you know, telling stories, and she's just a really sweet, nice woman. So I was really excited to talk to her. If you're anywhere in the Southeast Michigan area, she's going to be at Harpo's Concert Theater this coming Friday, December 8th. Otherwise, she's got some other concert dates you can check on her website if you're outside the area and you want to go check her out. So Lita was supposed to call at 1:45, and bam, just like clockwork, the phone started ringing.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
God.
I was wondering, where are you calling from, the West Coast?
You know, I don't fucking know. I am so screwed up with time. I don't know if it's day or night.
Well, you're right on time. How about that? So,
well, that's a good thing.
That's right. It always works out. Well, anyways, thanks again, like I said, for taking the time. So much going on right now. I just talked to Gary Hoey the other day, and he's helping to work on the on your new record and stuff. So tell me how that's going.
Yeah, Mr. Hoey, my good friend. Him and I get together in the studio, and it's just magic. He picks up sentences, and I finish them. I mean, we work together like twins. It's just a match made in heaven when I met Gary. We did Living Like a Runaway together, the album, and ever since then, everything we've touched has turned out great. So he's definitely the person to do this next record.
Now, I don't know if you know this or not. He's going to be in town Friday as well.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You guys are going to be a little bit apart, but he's going to be in Auburn Hills. You're going to be at Harpo's. But, yeah, he'll be in the same city at least, so.
Well, if there's any way to make it happen, we will, you know. We love to jam together, so if there's any way. But I love Harpo's. I'm so happy to come back to Harpo's.
Yeah. How many times do you think you've played there?
Oh, whew. Well, we played in the Runaways days. We played with Lita days. I can't tell you exactly, but the last time we played there, I was married and didn't have as good of a time as I would have liked. But now I'm single and I'm ready to rock. So I've got a killer band, really killer band. So we're going to blow the roof off the place on you. Can't wait.
Yeah, as my son would say, single like a Pringle. I don't know what that means, but that's what he says. I don't know, so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, kids. So this new record, by the way, I just reading something about this yesterday. You said it kind of comes from a darker place. That's kind of, I don't know, it's weird to hear that. Like, sometimes you hear that bands wrote stuff that was dark and you hear it kind of afterwards, but now as you're writing the record, you said it comes from a dark place. Explain what that means.
Well, it's dark in a sarcastic way, you know, so it's not really something that's nasty.
Right.
It's like I said, sarcastic. So it's the kind of song that you would sing to somebody that you think is kind of cocky, you know.
Yeah, because
I can't give it away. I don't know what to say about it because I can't give it away. But I'm very excited for it, and so far the songs have been awesome. So we just have a few more songs left to write, put together, produce, and then we should be on our way for the new record after January. Let the smoke clear from the holidays, and we'll have a new record out.
Do you have a timetable? Is it going to be in January, or is it going to be later on in the 2018?
Most likely, guessing the spring, summer.
And so you're saying when we hear the record, we'll get the sarcasm right off the bat, but you don't want to give it away just yet.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
I got you. So 2017 has been a really good year for you, huh?
Yeah, it has. I've had a great year. I've won all kinds of awards and been nominated the First Lady of Rock Guitar, which a lot of people are commenting, you know, speaking of sarcasm. Susie Quattro was the First Lady of Rock Guitar. Well, Susie Quattro played bass. Bonnie Raitt was the First Lady of Rock Guitar. Bonnie Raitt played the blues, you know. God love her. I love them both. I love Susie and I love Bonnie Raitt. As a matter of fact, I just did a clip in a documentary they're putting together for Susie Quattro. So I'm excited to be a part of that. And there's been other female guitar players, but nobody's really kicked down the door, as Lizzie Hale says. So I've got the Icon Award from Marshall Amplifications and Guitar Player Magazine, and sitting on my window is one heavy, heavy duty award.
Now you talk about Susie Quattro. She's from Detroit, right?
She is, and living in England because of her marriage. She was married in 1978, I believe it was, or 77, in Japan. And when she got married, they moved to England. But she's a Detroit girl.
Yeah. Now, you talked about Lizzie and stuff. I saw the Loudwire Awards show. That was pretty cool. All the girls up there on stage rocking.
Yeah. It kind of ticked me off a little because the cameraman did not put the camera on the other girls. At least the main cameraman, he only put the camera on me and Lizzie, but it really wasn't his fault because during sound check, there were no other girls there. And I didn't know the other girls were going to come out and sing with us. So when you watch the video, which is played in probably under a minute, it's a 3-minute song. It's Cherry Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And the drummer, RJ, took off like a thoroughbred out of the chute. He just flew through that song. He played it way too fast. And you couldn't see the other girls singing the backing vocals. So people are hearing these vocals coming in, but they didn't see the girls. They only saw me and Lizzie. So I deleted it from my website because it didn't turn out right. It's just one of those things. No biggie.
Yeah.
You know, you got to love RJ. If you know RJ, he is like a thoroughbred out of the chute anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, all those guys at Hailstorm, I mean, every day that they're out there touring and playing and stuff, I think they pinch themselves that they can't even believe what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure Lizzie had the same feeling the first time she met you, and now she's playing on stage doing the whole thing.
Yeah, well, Lizzie's a fan, and I'm honored and thrilled that she is. She is a doll. She's a great human being. The whole band, they're just really a tight-knit band and a great team. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're super good people as well. I mean, Lizzie, you know, outside of you, I don't know if I've ever met somebody nicer in this business.
Thank you. Thank you. That's really nice.
Yeah, Lizzie's awesome. Hey, so let me ask you about this. Let's stay with Lizzie real fast. So you got the Rock Gods thing too with Tom Kiefer. What was that about?
The Rock Gods Hall of Fame. There was a small handful of people that were nominated and inducted into the Rock Gods Hall of Fame. And I was one. I was the only female inducted into the Rock Gods Hall of Fame. So I've got a nice platinum award hanging on my wall for that, put on by the Hard Rock, the Hollywood Hard Rock, here off of Sunset Boulevard by Grauman's Chinese Theater. Or is it Hollywood Boulevard by the handprints? You know where they got the handprints in the sidewalk?
Yeah, now that's also with Gary Hoey. He was also won an award as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Hoey.
Yeah, we were talking about that last time I talked to him. I think he said Greg Bissonette. There was a bunch of other guys out there. You must have so much fun running into all these guys all the time.
It is. It's great. Well, it's Hollywood. You know, they live here. We all grew up together. We just roamed the streets of Hollywood together, starting from when I was a kid. You know, I was thinking the other day, we were just talking and shooting the breeze and saying how I grew up, the Runaways grew up with Kiss. They were like our brothers. Queen. We grew up with Queen. We grew up with Alice and his band back then when he had Dick Wagner and Steve Hunter and his band, who personally were my favorite guitar team of, you know, two guitar players together. They were the best. They were just phenomenal. And, of course, the guys in Priest, Judas Priest. So they were very inspiring. And let's see, we've grown up with Queen, Kiss, all these great bands. It's insane. You don't really think about it at the time. You just think, oh, yeah, well, they're my brothers. You don't really think about who they are and what they've done for rock, the music industry. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're talking about the Runaways, because the Runaways lasted, what, the last half of the 70s, right? And I kind of discovered rock music in like 80, 81, something like that, 82, something like that. So the Runaways were already done by the time I got into rock music. Then, of course, you went on your solo stuff and had a huge success during the 80s and whatnot. So, and I was thinking about this earlier. It's like you started when you were 16. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is, but to us, we didn't think about it. We just went through and did what we had to do. It's kind of like going to school. You have to go to school, you know? Do you think about it? Yeah, I kind of wish I didn't have to, but you still have to, so you just go about your business. You know, for us, that's what it was like, just going to rehearsal and working with Kim Fowley, and he was a real treat.
did you end up graduating from school?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what did you
sure did, yeah.
What did your parents think about your career in rock?
I'm sorry?
What did your parents think at, you know, at 16, 17 years old when you're going on tour?
You know, I was on tour with the Ramones when I graduated high school, when they were giving out the diplomas. And my father went to high school to pick up my high school diploma because I was on tour with the Ramones.
Wow.
Insane is that. When you think about it now.
Man, and there's so many of these guys are gone now. I mean, the Ramones, and I mean, just so many guys you probably grew up with playing side by side with.
Yeah, they are, and it's so sad. A little piece of me feels like a little piece of me goes with them, you know?
Yeah. Hey, talk about the 90s a little bit. I've talked to a lot of bands this year, like Tom Kiefer, like Winger, like the guys from Firehouse, different things like that. You kind of fell off the, I shouldn't say fell off the face of the map in the 90s, but you kind of, I don't know, did you kind of just pull yourself away when grunge and everything hit like that? And that's when you moved to your island and different things. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it is pretty much. I had two boys and moved to the Caribbean and just got away from the grunge scene because there really was no place for hard rock during that time. As much as everybody tried and kept pushing and it just didn't work. You know, it's like let the music industry do their thing. Let the grunge scene do its thing. It'll come full circle, and rock will be back eventually. It's rock and roll. It never dies. I mean, look at Elvis Presley, who first started all this. You know, Buddy Holly and all these people who first started all this. It always comes back. So I waited. I just waited it out and raised my sons and focused on being a mom, which that's something the other guys couldn't do.
Right, right.
Be a mom.
And this thing with the island fascinates me. So you're out there on a Caribbean island. I mean, how big is this island?
It's 36 miles by 36 miles.
And how many other people were on this island with you?
1,500.
Wow. Okay, that's pretty cool. So is it considered like a private island? Is that what they say?
No, it's not private. Although the government is very picky as to what you're going to do, build, develop, you know. We ended up developing a marina. And in order to do that, we had to include the government from the Turks and Caicos Islands to develop this marina, but it turned out the government at that time was a little corrupt. How unusual. And they booted him out, although he did get paid by us quite a lot of money. And we ended up developing the island. So it's not big. There's not a lot of people there. It's a place where the Canadian people like to go when it's cold and snows and they want warmth. So they come down to the Turks and Caicos Islands.
Yeah, so they're there like 10 months a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Now, was this when you were married to Chris Holmes?
No, Chris couldn't afford that.
I got you.
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny because when I was thinking about this, what I knew I was going to talk to you is that one scene in the Western Civilization, Decline in the Western Civilization, man, that classic scene, you know?
You know, that scene really ticked me off.
Really?
It did, because that was a setup. Penelope Spheeris, who was the producer of the film, set Chris up for that scene, which I thought was just dirty. And he ended up pouring pool water all over his face. There's not vodka in that bottle. Can you imagine pouring vodka all over your face like that? It's just, it was a setup, and it really ruined his career. It just destroyed his career, which is why he doesn't live in this country anymore.
Is that right? Yeah, I didn't realize that. For those who haven't seen it, he was in the pool, you know, pouring booze, and his mom was on the deck, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Sandy. His mom was standing offside, and, you know, she was a nice lady, and they did drink. They weren't clean and sober, but, I mean, to that length where he pours it all over his face was just ridiculous, you know, and then Penelope Spheeris made it out to look real, like he's really pouring this vodka on his face. It was just overkill, and I don't know. Upsetting for me, it was upsetting because it wasn't true.
Yeah, well, that whole movie is about, you know, pretty much the rock bands of the 80s and stuff and the over excess that they would that they put themselves through, right?
Well, it's supposed to be a comedy, and then she came out with Wayne's World, which
right.
was a huge hit, and again, it's a comedy, but when she did that with Chris, it just destroyed his career. But I don't know, he didn't do too much to make up for it either.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of pools and water and such, you're heading off on the Monsters of Rock cruise again, huh? How much fun are those things?
Yeah, those were great. They were a blast. The last cruise we were on, I still carry a British citizenship. My passport is still British. And what happened was I have to have a green card. What do you call it? An alien residency card. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
So my residency card was expired by a month. I mean, it had just expired. So they said to me, Lita, there's no way you're going to get on this ship because we can't bring you back into the United States with an expired residency card. And I thought, are you kidding me? You're not going to let me on the ship? I've been living in America since I was 4 years old. This is the first time I've ever had any trouble. And they said, well, your green card is expired. And I looked at my passport before we left, and I thought, passport's good, and green cards are supposed to last a lifetime. From the time you're a little kid and you become an adult, it's supposed to last you through your entire adulthood. And since 9/11, they changed the laws, which I didn't know. Coming back and forth from the Turks and Caicos, you did not need a passport at that time. All you needed was a birth certificate. So I would show them my birth certificate, and that was it. I would go into the Turks and Caicos Islands. But the first time the green card thing came up was on the ship. So my manager looks at me and he says, well, I'm going home. And I said, no, you're not. I said, you get on that ship. I said, we're in Miami. I can do this. Get on the ship. I need you on the ship. So he gets on the ship. And for 4 days, these guys, 3 days, they paced back and forth, eating and drinking and eating and drinking and watching all the bands and waiting for me to make the ship. They didn't think I was going to. But at the very last minute, I went into immigration over in Miami. And they were fans, so they gave me an extension on my residency card long enough that I was able to catch a plane to Nassau, which is where the ship docked. I got on the ship from Nassau, and we played the very last show going back to Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
So it's like, here I am. I've made it.
It was insane, and people were rubbing their eyes going, oh my gosh, is she really here?
Is that her? Wow, is that the only time you did the Monster of Rock cruise, just the one time?
Oh, no, we've done a bunch.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah, we've done a bunch. We did the Kiss Cruise. We're going to do the one in 2018. Doro Pesch is on that. I'm hoping to sing with Doro. I love Doro.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So is there anybody on your bucket list other than her that you'd like to do something with?
I've had to put some really serious thought to it because I've sang with just about everybody or played with just about everybody. But Doro and I did a photo session. We did the cover of Rip Magazine in the 80s. That was pretty killer.
Wow, you that know, must have been a pretty hot photo session.
Well, girls weren't on the cover of rock magazines. They did not put females on the cover of rock magazines. So when they put me on the cover, and it was the largest selling cover. It was the largest selling issue of the year. And Lon Friend, who was the editor of Rip Magazine at the time, just came from Chic Magazine, which is a Hustler, Penthouse, Playboy type of magazine. And he said to me, he goes, Lita, what's hotter than a chick with a guitar? One blonde chick with a guitar. He said to me, two blonde chicks with a guitar. And I said, yeah, that's a good idea. So we put Doro on with us. We flew her in, and she was such a doll to meet at first. And she bought me a gift, and I just fell in love with her. I think she's just awesome. So I'm looking forward to seeing her on the Monsters of Rock cruise.
I don't know if I've ever heard more better logic than that, by the way. The, you know, two blonde girls with, you know, guitars. That's,
yeah, seems, right.
Yeah.
Leave it to Lon.
That's right. Hey, a couple more things here for you real fast. First of all, I want to put everybody towards your website because Christmas is coming up and you got apparel, you got books, you got all sorts of stuff on your website that people can buy, eh?
Yeah, I do. I do. The book came out in 2016. It was a national bestseller, for sale in all the airports and Hudson newsstands. It did really, really well. It's hard. It's one of those books that's hard to put down once you start reading it. It's not a big book. It's not thick, so it's very easy to go through it in a weekend. You know, if you've got a weekend to spare and you just feel like relaxing, and once you start, you can't stop. I'm very proud of it.
What was harder, writing the book or promoting it and talking to the press all about it?
Well, the press, you know, they have their own take on things. It's okay to have sex if you're a guy, but if you're a girl, you're a slut.
Mm.
It puts a whole different spin on things. My stories are true. My stories are not all about sex. They're also very romantic if you read them the way they're written and not put your own words in there and your own spin on what you're reading, which the magazines, some of the magazines did, like the New York Times. They couldn't wait to put their own spin on everybody that I had sex with. But that's what you do. If you're in the music industry, you have sex with musicians. If you work at a bank, you have sex with people at the bank. You work at a hospital, you have sex with people at the hospital. I mean, come on. It's just the way life is. Fortunately, I got all the rock stars.
Yes, you did. Yeah, that you talk about that in the book. I guess this book really is sex, drugs, and rock and roll, isn't it? It's the epitome of it.
Well, not necessarily. It also talks about being a female in a man's world and the hurdles I had to jump to get to where I am today.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's also recording, you know, how we had to get around certain things to record. It talks about the Runaways, being underage and having to travel into these different clubs and countries and still be able to get past certain people because you're underage. You know, no, you're not old enough to play this club. You can't play here because they serve alcohol.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, the things we had to do. So it talks about all of this. It talks about my parents going through World War II, getting hit with a stick grenade and meeting my mother and falling in love in Italy. And I mean, there's a lot of love stories, and there's a lot of humor in this book. I find myself crying with laughter sometimes. Glance through it. So it's not just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. There's substance to it.
I got you. Well, we'll point everybody towards your website so they can maybe pick that up for Christmas and maybe pick it up for you to have the sign this weekend. And Harpo's got some other gigs coming up as well throughout the states. And it's really great to talk to you. I was a big fan growing up in the 80s and stuff. And then I think I met you for the first time on the Def Leppard tour when you were here in Detroit about 4 years ago. And you were so hospitable to me and my friends. And it goes a long way. You're really cool.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I can't wait to play Harpo's. It's one of my favorite places in the U.S.
Lita Ford on Radio Chatter today, and just listening to her, you can tell how nice she is. She's got, you know, that's, I guess, what I was getting at earlier in the interview when she was talking about the record being dark. It's like, how could Lita Ford be dark? She's so nice. She's so pleasant. Everything about her is just, you know, uplifting and sunny. She's got a sunny disposition. And I don't know if she's always had that. You know, I mean, if you read her book, you know, she went through a lot in her life. And but I'll tell you what, in the time I've met her, and of course, this time here just talking to her, she's got a good aura about her, and it was really cool to touch base and talk with Lita Ford. Hey, as I always say, subscribe to the podcast because I've got some killer ones coming up. I mean, we just had Winger on and Gene Simmons, in case you didn't hear that last week, Sammy Hagar, Billy Howardell from A Perfect Circle, and the list goes on and on and on. Over 80 podcasts this year revolving around rock and roll interviews, so go back and check out some of them if you'd like, and like I said, subscribe. We do appreciate a rating. If you can get us some stars, that would be pretty cool as well. But like I said, yeah, subscribe, because I've still got some more coming up here before Christmas break. I'm actually working on a few right now. I do have a couple actually booked for within this next week to do. But I'm not going to say anything because I've had ones booked in the past. Like Geezer Butler, for example. Booked, ready to go, no call. And that was like, I don't know, some sort of mix-up in communication or whatever. But once again, I don't want to jinx myself. So, but I do appreciate you guys listening. Thank you so much. Follow me on social media at MeltdownWRIF. And hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And thank you so much for listening to the Radio Chatter Podcast.